Last year, we started cultivating a shared language, rooted, restful, relational core worship. That's who we are, and that helps shape us for mission and for vision and keep us focused on who we are, who God is, how He's leading us into the world. And so we are rooted in Christ and in His Word. We are rooted in a denominational tradition, Global Methodist. We are rooted in community, and we're also rooted in all the places that we go. Core worship, we are rooted, and we spent some time unpacking that in June. We are also relational, and there are three key relationships we focused on last August. We are relational first and foremost with God, but we are also relational with each other. We are the body of Christ on mission in the world, and that's the third relationship we share with all the people that we encounter and all the places that we go. Relational with God, with each other, and with the world. And we unpacked that last year, and we never got into restful, and that's what we're doing this morning and this new year, spending time unpacking restful. And we are a restful people, and sometimes it seems like you'd never know it. But restful refers to the rhythms we keep that help us remain tethered to God and to each other. And right here, right now, what we're doing is probably the most important rhythm we, the body of Christ, are tethered to, and that is worship, as we lift up who our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. Last week, we began this series with a prelude to the rest. We were in Ezekiel 47, and we said repeatedly that God is the source of life and mission. We don't create it. We enter into it. God's presence precedes participation in His life, and all of this is gift. God's presence is a gift to us, and all of this sets the tone for everything else that will follow as we live out our lives, but also everything that will follow in this series as it unfolds. God acts first. We respond second. God acts first, pursuing us before we even knew there was a God or cared that He exists. We respond as He gives revelation. And that truth runs throughout Scripture from beginning to end. It was the experience of everybody in Scripture, even today. In the very beginning, God created all things, spoke all things into existence. He created humanity, that's you and me, put us there in the middle of the garden. We were created in His image, given all things to steward over. The people of God were in the place of God with full access to His presence. And that was the point of it all. It's what we've been working to get back to from the very beginning of it all. What happened? Sin entered in. Shame and anxiety set in, and relationship with God was fractured. Same relationship between humanity, you and me. We've been living with those consequences ever since. And yet the beautiful thing is, right out of the gate in Genesis chapter 3, we see God pursuing His creation, Adam and Eve, came looking for them. He removed all of their shame, all of their anxiety, even removed the fig leaves that they had clothed themselves with and clothed them with garments of animal skin. In Genesis 3, presumably the first blood animal sacrifice on biblical record, and the trajectory was set then for rescue. First messianic promise is found in Genesis chapter 3. God's been revealing Himself ever since. I want to pause right there for a second, because I know that all of us knows what it feels like to live beneath the weight of sin and shame, and maybe you've been released from that. And maybe if you have, you cycle around back to it again and again, broken records that we are, trying to save ourselves on the power of our own strength. And this is why we're so tired. Yeah. And it's exactly why we need rest, and it's why we hold out that standard for being restful. Ultimately, God has been revealed to us in the person and work of Jesus Christ, God's one and only Son. And more than technique, posture, or discipline, try harder, Jesus reveals who holds the source of life and how access to that life is given. In Matthew 11, verse 27, helps us to see that in three movements. We see in verse 27, entrusted authority, shared intimacy, given revelation. And this is the way God works. So first, let's talk about entrusted authority. The Father entrusts all things to the Son. Scripture says, by him, through him, for him, the Son, all things were created. And we know that God is not stingy with his blessings, giving them to the righteous and the unrighteous, the just and the unjust, good and bad alike. And we're talking rain and sun and food and provision, all things. But outside of Christ, there is no life, only existence. We're talking about the whole mission of God from Genesis to Revelation and the authority of his kingdom given to Christ, and at the center of it all is salvation through the person and work of Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. God's plan has been brought to completion. Jesus accomplished everything necessary for reconciliation to God and one another. In fact, his death and resurrection, salvation, is the linchpin between God's presence, that was last week, God's rest, that's where we're going. And I want to be clear, salvation is not based on our own effort, striving. It's not human potential. It all belongs to God. It was his idea, in fact, before any of us can come, before anyone can receive what God has for them, before anyone can rest. The work has been completed in Christ, who came once, he's coming back, and he comes repeatedly through the proclamation of his word and the faithful presence of a holy people. The kingdom is being ushered in. The mission continues until Christ returns. This entrusted authority is like when one of us goes out of town and we get someone to look after our home, give our neighbor a key, and they can check the mail and water the plants and generally just keep an eye on things. They represent you taking care of your home, acting on your behalf, but within the prescribed limits and parameters that you've set. Now imagine you hand over everything to someone. We're talking about the deed to your home and the title to your car and bank access and legal authority with permission to sell your home, renovate it, sign contracts on your in your name. They don't need to call you and ask permission. It's the same house, same owner, radically different authority that's been granted. Jesus is that one that we're talking about in this scenario. He hasn't been sent with the keys to the kingdom. He's given the keys to the kingdom to us. He's ushered in the whole kingdom. It's all about him, entrusted authority. And that's why striving doesn't work and only makes us tired. We're striving to complete work that was never ours in the first place. The Father entrusts all things to the Son, who uniquely knows the Father. The Son uniquely knows the Father. And we're talking about knowledge, but maybe not like you're thinking, because we all have knowledge and might know everything there is to know about the Bible as far as it's been given to us. And even then, you don't know everything. But this kind of knowledge is intimate knowledge. Some of you know Leanne Donaldson, my wife, whom I love so dearly. And I could tell you that she is a blue-blooded Kentucky basketball fan. And she eats everything with a fork, including soup and ice cream and cereal. And I love to do dishes after her because I'll take my spoon and just get every last bit of ice cream that's left in there. And she plays a little bit of guitar and her favorite flower is Daisy, and she was barefoot at our wedding, and that is information. But none of you know her like I know her. And I'm so thankful to be known by her and share the same value and philosophy of ministry and see Jesus the same way and get who the other person is. And that's the type of intimacy we are talking about. It's not intellectual. It is complete and deeply personal, perfect even. Jesus is not talking about a human knowledge, a kind of knowing of God, but the inner life of God, a mutual, perfect, relational knowing between Father and Son. Salvation does not start with our knowing God. It starts with God knowing God, and then acting out of that intimacy, that love, that unity. And that's what keeps salvation from being transactional. It's not just something we do, it's something we receive. And because we've received it, we embody it. And for some people, even in the room, the hardest thing isn't believing that God exists. The hardest thing is believing that God is good, that He sees you, that He knows you, that He loves you. That's who God is for each and every one of us. That's the type of knowing that Jesus is talking about. Salvation doesn't start with good behavior or praying a little sinner's prayer. It started inside the love of God. The Father entrusts all things to the Son. The Son uniquely knows the Father, and the Son intentionally makes the Father known. And this type of intimate knowing, this salvation that we're talking about, is by grace, period, end of story. Received by faith, and that's it. And it is attributed to the Father's good pleasure. Again, it's His idea, but it is 100% dependent on the Son, freely given by God Almighty. Jesus is actively making the Father known. He chooses to reveal the Father. In submission to the Father's will, surrender to His Father, Jesus chooses to reveal the Father. This is intentional and it is decisive. Through His words and actions, His whole life, through His death and resurrection, even His presence within the hearts of those who repent and receive, those who realize their need, they receive this gift. And the emphasis in Matthew 11, 27 is on Christ's initiative in revelation, which is not earned and it's not discovered like the new world. It's not achieved by human effort or insight. This revelation is given to those who want, not to those who can figure it out or work hard enough. It's given to anyone the Son chooses to reveal the Father. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I get hung up on that word, chooses. It's not like Jesus is up there choosing teams and picking sides. Again, we're talking about a radical choice to surrender all of His earthly will to God the Father, because He knew what was coming. Jesus chose to be obedient. So I want you to get this. Jesus is not saying, well, sometimes I feel like revealing the Father. And if and when I feel like it, it's to whomever I want. He is perpetually revealing truth. And on this side of Easter and the Ascension, He's revealing it through you and me. The Son's choosing is His faithful execution of God's plan of salvation. A good paraphrase might be, no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son intentionally reveals Him as a part of God's saving purpose. Or let's dumb it down even further. The Son reveals the Father on purpose, not by accident. The Son reveals the Father's heart, the Father's love, on purpose, not by accident. And this is a representation of how he did that. And it's something we do that's more in just remembrance. We believe we're receiving everything he has for us. And so I'm not trying to ask you, just work harder, smarter, try harder, think about it harder. I'm trying to give you permission to stop all that. Let it go. Stop striving and just receive the Father's love that's been revealed to us through Christ the Son, because this is foundational truth. Matthew 11:27. We're going to unpack the rest of the chapter in the weeks that follow, but what we're talking about is the linchpin between God's presence and God's rest. And it's very much like in ancient diplomacy. There were moments when everything hinged on one meeting. There were two nations at war, bloodshed for years, and finally a treaty was signed. And most diplomats could only deliver a message. But sometimes a ruler would send someone with full authority. And when that person signed, the war ended. Prisoners were released and borders were redrawn according to agreement. There was no further approval needed. The moment that pen touched that paper, peace became real. And Matthew 11:27 is looking forward to that moment when Christ's blood is pen on paper. The rules have changed. Prisoners released. Shalom, peace ushered in. Jesus is not just carrying God's words. He's carrying God's authority, all authority to reconcile us to God, us to each other, and for us to engage in his work in the world, that work of reconciliation. When Jesus reveals the Father, it isn't just information. It is salvation enacted. It is love embodied, and all of this ought to feel like relief, because that's the point. This is gift. Stop with the striving. We don't come to Jesus to prove anything, not our worth, not our effort. We come because he is the effort and everything has already been done. So what does this have to do with rest? God's presence precedes participation in his life. We said that last week. Salvation is the prerequisite for participation. Salvation is opening this gift. Participation is embodying it to the full. This invitation from God is open to all people everywhere, image bearers of God, and we encounter them all the time. This is for everyone. But the invitation is for us to respond. And that's how we become children of God, co-heirs with Christ, friends and brothers of Christ. We're talking two different things. Image bearers, everybody. Children of God, saved by grace through faith in what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. And this knowledge of Christ is something only God can give. And the knowledge of God is given to us only from Jesus Christ. Have you received this gift? Let me ask you a couple questions to reflect on this morning, this week, even. First, what are you trying to finish, still trying to finish, that Jesus has already accomplished for you? And where have you been treating salvation like it's your responsibility instead of this gift that God wants to give you to enjoy. Lord, I pray that you would let all of this sink in. I pray that you would help us settle the matter for ourselves. We are not human doings trying to save ourselves, but human beings who simply receive. Lord, may this be the day of salvation. And since we are saved and being saved, may it be the day of sanctification. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray for more of you. It's in Jesus' name, amen.